I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show, and for those watching on Twitch, YouTube, or Twitter, you may be asking, why is he sitting there? Well, I'm still in the control room where I normally produce the John and Lance show because a little traffic accident happened, so Sean's a little behind schedule. He'll be here maybe in about 5 minutes or so. So this reminds me of when I was a DJ at Alvin College. I think this is kind of what everyone, except for like sports radio hosts, do. Like the music station down the hall, there's a guy behind the microphone, behind a board. It's kind of the traditional way it's done. It's just sports radio does it differently. But we'll be back to normal in a little bit here once Sean gets here. But the news of the day yesterday was, and it came as a big surprise because he was still out on the open market, and we did play that sound from earlier, at least last week, where Joe Espada kept the door open. Maybe we even played it earlier this week, arms wide open. He said his arms are open, the Astros are open to bringing Bregman back. And then the news started to come yesterday, not only about Bregman, but Ryan Pressly was not just on the trade market, but looked like he had a destination until he said, nah, I'm good. We'll get to that in a little bit. But Bregman and the Astros are open to a reunion. What does that mean? It means there needs to be some. Let's just say some acknowledgement that the market that Scott Boras maybe laid out for Bregman isn't the case. Now, there are still two legitimate offers, according to Bob Nightingale, for Bregman. But the big thing here was that this could be something that felt like a foregone conclusion changing into a reunion with Bregman and the Astros. And then the reports came up that I think it made it more real for people. It was maybe more abstract that Bregman could be back. It became more real when you heard reporting or saw reporting that Jose Altuve was willing to move positions to accommodate Bregman because the Astros had to make moves. Isaac Paredes, that's a name, or Isaac Paredes, that's a name we're going to have to get used to. They have him. They brought in Walker as well. So the question was, where was Bregman going to play? Well, according to that reporting, Altuve is willing to move to left field. And then I saw all the dream casting of the lineups and how good it would look. I don't know that the Astros want Altuve in left field. It felt like all the infield moves that they did were a sign that they're moving on. They clearly have not moved on from the possibility of Bregman coming back. Excuse me. They clearly have not, but Altuve as an outfielder, it has happened in Astros history before, at least center field. We know Craig Biggio did it. Lance Berkman has played center field. So they certainly have put or found unorthodox solutions to problems. This would be unorthodox. He would play left. It is the easiest position to play for someone who isn't a natural left fielder. And a lot of people are focusing on the Daikin field portion of this, but he would actually have to play 81 times. Well, not 81. He'll have days off. He would have to play a number of games in other ballparks. So I understand the home ballpark is the focus, but it wouldn't just be an issue here. It'd be an issue everywhere. And I get it. It's exciting to think you're not going to lose Bregman. But if you are thoroughly excited about it, I'm not going to say you shouldn't be, but if you created your lineups about how that's going to go, I don't want to see the complaints if Altuve's flopping around and flapping around in left field or he's consistently getting run on. This is the product of putting him out there. You're going to have to take that and hope the offense means it doesn't hurt you as much as it could. And, you know, are we going to have a great Altuve year? I certainly hope so. Bregman, we know, starts slow. So if he is back with Altuve out there, the give and take is going to be interesting. How good would this offense be with the additions they made along with Bregman coming back? And how bad would that outfield defense be when you throw in Altuve and Jake Myers and I guess Chaz out there too? Ain't exactly a unit that's going to scare anyone when guys are trying to go from first to third and from second to home. So you hope the offense mitigates some of that. Did see Sean poke his head in. So we'll actually go to break early so I can go sit in my normal seat. We're just getting started here on the show. If you want to get in, surprisingly, Gilbert held through the last show. So maybe we'll talk to Gilbert, see if he wants to talk to me about anything. Seems unlikely, but you never know. But if you want to get in on Alex Bregman possibly returning and the thoughts of Altuve playing left, you can. You can call in at 713-780-3776. We'll do that. We'll talk certainly about the title game. It's championship weekend in the NFL. And I've kind of developed a rooting guide beyond football because beyond the fact that everyone hates the Chiefs, well, is there a reason to root for the Bills beyond that? Who are you taking in Eagles Commanders? Maybe it's simply a Jaden Daniels thing. Maybe you love Jaden Daniels more now because of what his mom said. We played that late in the show with John Lance. We'll get to that in our show too. I'm sure Sean will have some thoughts on that, and I will as well. So we will be back after this, and I'll be back in my normal seat.
ESPN 97.5. Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean's back. Show's back to normal, outside of the fact that Gilbert's still on hold. That's never happened. I feel like he's not there. He's just hasn't hung up yet. So maybe we'll test that out in the next segment. Figure out if Gilbert's decided to expand his horizons and call into this show and wait for an hour to get on. We'll see. We'll see about that. But more to the Alex Bregman conversation. I had kind of given up. It was a topic of conversation throughout the show since the offseason began for the Astros, but more in the, you know what, where's Alex Bregman going to go? Not that he's going to come back. I never actually believed he was going to come back because of what we heard about his demands, what he thought his market would be. The Scott Boras angle certainly played a part in it, and yet here we are. And we kept it open that this could be a thing where he's not signed into the month of February. We're now in late January, and now it's, is he going to come home? Is he going to take a short-term deal? Because we don't think the Astros are changing their philosophy on what they think about giving guys longer deals in the $30-plus million range. It doesn't feel like that's the case. It feels like Scott Boras played it, played the game and lost. What he thought he would be able to get for his client isn't what is out there. And Bregman has no real impetus or real need to sign early if the market isn't playing to his favor. Wait, who cares? You're not a quarterback. You don't play a game that needs continuity to perform well. You don't need practice. And, hell, spring training hasn't begun yet. So this could play out even further, but the people who cover this thing for a living believe that the Astros are firmly in it. Maybe not the favorite, but firmly in this. And if it comes down to it and the Astros give him a short-term deal, of course I'm in. Of course you want him back. I kind of believe that the window with him and Kyle Tucker leaving in the same offseason was closed. They have made their acquisitions to try to stay competitive, and of course, and by window I mean not winning the World Series. I think they can compete in this division. I'm not quite sure their pitching is good enough right now. They have Fromber. If we're putting him at the top of the heap as far as the rotation, I think that's a question mark, because you're not ever really sure. I won't say game to game, but there's always a moment in a Fromber start where it can go one way or the other. And that's a little shaky for me when we're talking about a number one starter who's going to be the head of a rotation of a potential World Series team. Maybe you think that's Hunter Brown's position. We're going to hear from a guy who's looking to stake his claim to being a permanent member of the rotation. He only got starts last year because of all the arm injuries to the Astros. But the Astros were out and about. I think they might have been at St. Arnold's yesterday, but it was Jeremy Pena and Spencer Arrighetti. They were both there. I believe Yordan made an appearance out in the city as well, but you're going to hear them both, Spencer Arrighetti first and Jeremy Pena, on the thought of, hell, Altuve, of all people, moving to left field.
No, I can't imagine how he's not at second, but it would be crazy. You know, I mean, I've seen there's been weird things that have happened, you know. Anything could happen, but no, I can't imagine Jose not at second.
Who said that?
Bob Nightingale.
Bob Nightingale, Jose in left field. I can't see it, but you know, if that's something he's open to and he wants to do, then
first Parker team.
You know, I know he's gonna try to show up every single day, and doesn't matter where they put him, he's gonna try to do his best for the team.
That is Jason Bristol. Or excuse me, courtesy. That sound is courtesy of Jason Bristol of KHOU. He's the one who got a chance to talk to those guys, and I'm right there with him. I just assume he would retire and play second for his entire career. Yeah, I get some DH moments as he ages, but the thought of him rolling around the outfield in Yankee Stadium, Fenway, all the ballparks the Astros visit, did not ever foresee it. And he's willing. The question is, are the Astros looking for that? I know he's willing. Yeah. Are the Astros looking to put him in left field, or is the solution to finding a spot when you're bringing Bregman back is to put him out there?
Or put Paredes back there.
Yeah. I mean,
I that's where I'm like, wait, why can't Paredes just play left field and not moving from third to second? Why don't just move from third to left field? Just take, you know, 200 steps back and just go play left field. I think shout out to Altuve for being open to this and volunteering. It sounds like this, not something a lot of stars do. Don't take that for granted, but also I'm not sure how realistic this is, because like you said, we thought that the Bregman thing would take a while. We thought that he would need to, you know, try to juice the market a little bit. Is this just Scott Boras throwing something out there saying, hey, you know,
trying to get someone to bite?
Yeah,
that isn't the Astros.
It's less about getting the Astros to bite, more about like adding another suit or so the Tigers throw a few extra $1 million per year on the deal. Or the Red Sox finally get serious about spending money again for the first time in like 5 years. Is that like are the Astros being used is my question. Before we even talk about like how Altuve would look in left field.
No, that's no fun. I believe it's the right
conversation to have, but it's less fun than creating your lineup. But well, let's
imagine the picture of Altuve standing in front of the Green Monster. Wouldn't that be hilarious? Look how small he is. Look how big that wall is.
Yes, all those jokes will be made. Yes, the AI has already had him out in the left field. People have already done that so far as the news broke. I don't think your approach is a wrong one because the Astros still have, according to reports, the Astros still have their original offer on the table. Is Bregman willing to agree to that and lock himself into a deal he thinks is less than what he's worth?
Yeah.
Or would he sign a one-year deal and be a year older but at the value he thinks he's worth and then do this all over again?
Yeah.
Those are a couple of the scenarios if he's coming back to the Astros. And he, as I said, he doesn't have to be in any rush right now, so why not have the Astros be a real contender and just, hey, look out to the teams that you've been talking to all offseason and go, hey, I can always go back here. If I'm going to take less than what I believe my value is, I'll do it with them. I don't have to do it with you. So let's have a real conversation.
Yeah.
Open up them pockets a little bit because what you've been offering all offseason is clearly not what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I also think that if he would come back to the Astros, or at this point probably sign any deal, because I imagine if he would have signed a deal that he thought it was worth that reflected his worth, that he would already have signed it. So I do think that if he does sign, it will probably be in one of those Boris client classics of a 3-year deal with opt outs after every year, and hey, if I have a good year, then I can just opt out and, like you said, do this dance all over again. It's what Blake Snell did, where he signed a 1-year deal with some opt-outs with the Giants, got off to a rough start, pitched really well the second half of the year. Now he's going to the Dodgers on, I think it was like 6 for $180. So that's kind of the standard Boris client, where if you're not Juan Soto and you don't immediately break all the records, really, these guys have had a hard time getting that money, and they have to basically redo it a couple times.
Has that man lost his fastball?
Yes. Next question.
Thank you. I just needed a quick and simple answer. It's because I think it was obvious. We've been doing the Boris thing and his clients and being so afraid of what that means for several years now, and his clients always, it feels like, are ones outside of, as you mentioned, Juan Soto, who everyone wanted to give money to if they
could. I could have gotten him a $700 million.
Yes, he didn't need Boris for that. You probably, now there's a standard fee, but I'm sure Sean Mates would have come under.
I would have waived it.
You would have undercut Boris to make sure you got the Juan Soto
1%
deal.
1% of $700 million.
Yeah, to get Juan Soto as your client, you would have undercut Boris, certainly. That was easy. That's an easy one. All the ones he's trying now, particularly the Bregman one, are the ones where he actually has to work. And right now, he's failing, and Astros fans, beware. All I'm saying is beware of the possibility that your Astros are simply being used to alert other teams to a real possibility. Because everyone knows the Astros have an offer. Now, the question would be, are teams going to believe, after all those conversations they've had with Bregman throughout this offseason, that he's just going to now take less money and go back to the Astros?
And lock it in for 5 years.
Yeah, and be there until a point where he no longer will be able to command what he... Yeah. A giant salary and certainly a long contract.
Yes.
That's the game that's being played right now. I hope the Astros aren't being used, but it's business, man.
Well, do you hope – so you don't hope that they're being used. Do you hope Bregman comes back?
I would like him back, yes. Okay. I hope
– And now Altuve to play left?
I would like a different solution.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I appreciate the, again, great teammate, Jose Altuve.
Yeah,
maybe
your arm is
maybe. Let's try some other options.
His arm isn't exactly one that's all that impressive at second.
He's throwing it like 60 feet.
Yeah, yeah. So I hope all those smart people over there with the Astros find a different solution than putting him out there. But I am glad, and it just certainly adds to the legacy. Whether this is a real thing or not, that whether Altuve really believes that he would go out there and play left field, even though he's offering it, it's a great thing for his legacy.
I was going to say, just the story being put out there that he's willing to do this.
From the beginning of this offseason when he said, yo, no, Bregman was coming back. He's coming back. Stepping out for the first time and trying to assert some power and going, hey, I want this guy back, to this point where, all right, guys, position switch, sure, I'll play left. I don't know if he has a team who does marketing for him, but the legacy grows. That statue, which was already coming, maybe now it'll be accurate as opposed to the one Dwayne Wade got.
I thought you were going to say size accurate.
No.
It's going to be much bigger. No. It's going to be much bigger.
Not size accurate. The Astros are now guaranteed to get people who will actually make it look like him.
Oh, okay. They're going to spring just for the night. So in whatever, 7 years when he gets a statue?
Yeah.
They're going to have to cut payroll to pay for the good sculptors.
Yeah.
Not the ones that the Heat use.
Yeah. I mean, Mickey Arison wants to stay out of the tax with, even with this Jimmy Butler trade. Yeah. Make sure I stay out of the tax. So it's understandable.
Can you find me the Hayward Highsmiths of sculptors?
So it's understandable why Dwayne Wade's statue doesn't look like him. I think Altuve is getting a pretty accurate version of himself in bronze in front of Minute Maid. Not Minute Maid anymore.
Daikin
Park. Field.
Him throwing the ball from left field.
I don't think that's the thing. What? Okay,
like Kyler Murray.
Since now he's going to make that noise. Since we're doing that now, hey, Dominic, I see you want to talk Texans. We'll get to you in the next segment. What's the actual pose for Jose Altuve? What's the iconic pose for Altuve? Can we think of one offhand?
Probably like the follow through on one of the many
Yankee murdering home runs.
Yeah, yeah. Like I think the 2019 one, he held it for a little bit. I mean, he obviously doesn't like do the huge demonstrative bat flips, mm-hmm. but he kind of like follow throughs and looks at it. I feel like it'll be simple, something like that.
Probably. I can't
think. Because he doesn't really have a defensive one.
No.
Maybe move to left field.
we will see what comes of it, but that's the news. There also is some Ryan Pressly news that might mess with this potential transaction I will get to a little bit later. But as I said, Dominic, I see you. I guess Gilbert, I see you too. We'll get to you guys in the next segment. 713-780-3776 is the number if you do want to call in and get on as well and talk about this or anything else. But first, I want to talk about MyBookie. MyBookie is the place you go to if you want to put some money down on your Astros potentially winning a World Series. Maybe you want to place a bet there. You can do that, and you can do almost anything there as well. You got some thoughts on the title games this weekend? MyBookie's there for you. You want to take advantage of the slate of games in the NBA? Maybe you think the Rockets are going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers twice. That game's tomorrow. MyBookie's there for you, too. Just go to the website, mybookie.ag, and put some money down. Use that promo code BET975 to take advantage of what they have to offer. And as always, remember, there's everything there for you, from the NBA, college basketball, NHL, Premier League soccer, all the other international soccer, PGA. It's there for you. MyBookie.ag is the website. Promo code BET975 is what you use. They have a 50% match up to $1,000, which simply means you put in $200, they give you an extra $100. You put in $300, that's $150. You guys can do math. It's easy for you. Just remember this. You can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD. 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Earlier in the day, it was the Raiders and Pete Carroll, getting close to a deal. Now it's official. Schefter's reporting, along with other sources, that Pete Carroll will coach the Raiders. So they go from the most inexperienced version of an NFL head coach to one of the most experienced versions. Pete Carroll, the Raiders coach. So you go from Staley and Pierce in the last couple of years. And who was the end up?
McDaniels.
No. I'm not talking about all the teams. We're talking about I'm not talking about the Raiders specifically. I'm talking about
the teams in the
division. You've had Staley, Pierce,
Nathaniel Hackett,
and now it's Peyton, Harbaugh, and Carroll. And you better get get this last one. Andy Reid, you better get it in.
And I didn't even think about Jim Harbaugh versus Pete Carroll.
Yeah,
in the same division again.
Yeah, it's. That goes all the way back to college.
Yeah, from college, Stanford, USC.
To the NFC West.
49ers. Seahawks, now Raiders, Chargers. Woo.
Andy Reid was like, damn it.
Got to make that the Monday night game. The first Monday night game.
Yeah.
I think it has to be Harbaugh, Carroll.
Reid will always have the advantage at quarterback, but the job ain't so easy anymore. The coach is in that division now.
No, I remember that's what the angle was when Ben Johnson was rumored to, the Raiders job was
low
the rumored
energy
one.
Ben?
Yeah, and people were like, why would you go be in the same division as Harbaugh and the Chiefs if you're going to be so picky as to pick a, you know, when you're picking your next job? He ends up picking a team that plays against three playoff teams from last year, double-digit win playoff teams.
What we found out is he ain't scared.
He's not scared. He's like, LaFleur, easy.
I always beat him.
Yeah. Next.
We'll see. We'll see. Now he's got Caleb Williams, the kind of guy through to being an NFL, or at least a good NFL quarterback. So there it is. Pete Carroll in the AFC West, the cradle of coaches, the AFC West. We'll see how it plays out for everyone, as I'm sure the Chiefs aren't scared at all as they try to go for their third consecutive Super Bowl win. All right, let's get to Dominic. He wants to talk Texans. What's up, Dominic?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. Listen, you know I'm ride or die Texans. You know that. But I got to be honest, I'm a little bit relieved that the season's over. If you ask me during the Chiefs game, obviously I was rooting for them going crazy, but I'm just feeling a sense of relief. This was the year of inconsistency, the year of unknown. Week in and week out, I didn't know what Texans team was going to show up. I didn't know if the defense was going to show up. I didn't know if C.J. Stroud was going to turn the ball over. And the Chiefs game was a prime example of that. What was one thing that was the model of consistency with the Texans? It was the special teams. And Frank Ross, you could jump up and down and be a cheerleader on the sideline all you want. You blew it Saturday in the biggest spotlight. Your special teams was absolutely horrendous all day long. That leads me to my next point. Kaimi Fairbairn, gone. I want to start that train. I am done with him. I don't know why everyone's love affair is with the guy. He continues to miss key kicks, okay? I was there for the Lions game. I was there for the Jets game. He missed two big kicks in those games, including Saturday. Now, my final 2 points. This offensive line is wretched. Not only do they suck, but I don't like them either. They are an unlikable group. They don't have that killer mentality. I don't think any of them stand there and look at their opponent and say, I'm going to whoop you on this play. None of them care, okay? None of them want to get up the field, get into that second block. They just want to do their thing. Laramie wants to worry about his side stuff. It really is pitiful. Now, my final point, D'Amico, this is your chance. I'm tired of being mediocre. I'm tired of looking at the Texans as the only team who's never made it to a conference championship. You want to stop being mediocre, you're going to fire Bobby Slowick. You're going to sit there, you're going to look back, and you're going to say, this is not good enough, okay? Because now I'm questioning C.J. Stroud, what we have with him. Thanks for hearing me out, brother. Always good talking to you.
Thank you. I don't believe you.
Rack him.
I don't know if Dominic's ever called this show, but I appreciate you calling in.
He's called different variants of the Paul Gallant.
When it was at this
Gallant
time.
George, yeah.
He's
called Gallant George.
So maybe you called at this time slot.
I know Dominic. Dom from New Jersey. Texas fan from New Jersey.
I appreciate it, Dom. Paul Gallant had at one point this time slot, so maybe that's what you're remembering, but I appreciate you calling in no matter what. It was a tough day for Frank Ross. They were featuring him for whatever reason.
Well, because the first play of the game, he got shoved.
No.
Mean the Texans?
Yeah.
I thought you meant on the broadcast. I was like, well, he was a big part of
it.
I saw him get shoved in slow-mo 25 times.
Because the day before, I guess the Thursday before he spoke to the media, we heard from Frank Ross. So it was a big lead-up to Frank Ross, and then he has the kickoff return go against him. He got shoved. His field goal kicker misses several kicks and got one blocked.
Yeah.
It was rough for the special teams. I thought he was going to go the model of consistency for the Texans was penalties because they do that all the time.
Yeah.
But he was talking about a positive. And yes, for the most part, the special teams have been good. They have created advantages for the Texans. On Saturday or last Saturday, it did not go that way. And are we getting rid of Kaimi Fairbairn? He doesn't kick well in the cold.
That's a problem.
It is a problem unless you are never so good in the regular season that you never have to play in the cold in the playoffs, which is an improper way to look at your kicking situation that, hey, we just got to go 15-2 every year so we don't have to worry about it.
Boom. Problem solved.
Yeah, it's been It's an interesting way how he started the year, making all the 50-yard field goals, and we end the year asking, should he be around anymore? He was making clutch kicks, making 50 yards, and now we're asking. Yeah. I don't believe they're making that decision. I mean, it's funny that Dominic brought it up, because all the questions about DeMeco Ryans are, can he make the tough decision now? Can he fire Bobby Slowick? Can he make the move that everyone thinks is going to change the fortunes and move them from a as Dom said, maybe mediocre, but I'll say team with a cap on what they can actually do, which has been for their entire history, a divisional round loss, and can he make a move that will elevate them? I don't believe he's going to do that. Should he, though? I think he should. If he now, this is, comes with the caveat that he has to know there's a guy out there that he wants that's better. Like, don't fire Bobby Slowick just to do it.
Yeah,
fire Bobby Slowick because you operate like a shark, and you know you're brutal about this, and you know I got a guy I believe in that I can come in and it's going to be a cinch. Sure, I told the world I'm going to evaluate, but I've had this guy lined up for 3 months. Just in case. I've told this guy, I don't like what's going on here. If this doesn't turn around, you're next. If that's the case, yes, hire Bobby Slowick. Operate like all the coaches we either love because they're our coach, or we rip because they don't care about people. All they do is care about winning. If he's got that in him and he's got the right guy, then yes, fire Bobby Slowick. But you better have an improvement.
A Kubiak. A LaFleur brother.
Something, somebody that you know is going to be a hit.
Someone from San Francisco.
I'm sure that's...
Pluck another fruit off the tree.
That is his coaching tree. So I would hope he would be able to expand beyond that, but you never know. Maybe it's all he knows. Maybe it's he's going to get all his recommendations from that same tree, so you never know. I don't know if it's a test of DeMeco Ryans, how a lot of people are putting it, but I do hope that if he makes the decision, it isn't, well, now we've got a month of interviews because he doesn't have an answer. I hope he has an answer for this decision.
That they can,
just go to.
They already have the answer.
We're just waiting for the particulars to play out, and then immediately DeMeco Ryans will have, I need Rapoport to tweet out something like, DeMeco Ryans is zeroed in.
Yeah,
pretty soon after making that decision.
I was going to say, it has to be like the next day or something.
Yeah. And then we have a guy in, and it can be met with, I guess, depending on how you feel, can be met with applause.
Norv Turner.
Chan Gailey. what if you did hire someone like 65 years old to coach?
Hey, it's steady hand.
Yeah, someone.
Steady hand up
someone
there.
Who's experienced. Art says, has Dominic been on hold since Monday? I mean, there are topics we've covered, but who cares? Let him call in. If he hadn't been able to get in, he might be busy, Art.
Yeah, snowpocalypse.
I don't know if you've heard, Enzo was in town.
Great name. Still, I stand by. Great
I
name.
Love that name.
And I'm glad, I don't think anyone got seriously hurt because of it, so now we can just go Enzo. What a great name.
I believe, because of what your sources told us, it played out that way, that the grid was fine. They were ready for it this time, and I don't believe we saw any reports of the cold hurting or killing someone because of a lack of power. At least I didn't see that out there.
I should get back to my source.
Yeah, ask your source how everything held up. Did they have any
rolling blackouts?
Yeah, I don't think we would have heard brownouts. I think we might have heard of that this time around. Peña, you want to talk about something we brought up? The Altuve statue. You have a pose for Altuve you want to let us know about?
Yo, what's up, Big Dale? Hey, man, I just passed up Minute Maid, it's still called Minute Maid because they still got the signs up there, so until they change it. Why did they still got the posters with Tucker and Verlander and Bregman? They're not even part of the team. They need to get to work over there, man. But, I got an idea. Y'all said the swing from 2019. Well, I got him approaching home base, holding his jersey, just to slap all the haters in the across the face one more time. And they're saying, "Oh, he had a buzzer." So slap him across the face one more time, and let's put that as a statue. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. That was brought off the air as a as a ironic way to do things, while it fits my sense of humor. And frankly, if you want to give me a behind-the-scenes process of them making it, I would sit down for the doc. I would watch it. But don't believe the Astros are looking to glorify some crackpot theory about the best player in their franchise's history.
I mean, it would make people online so
it would drive people
insane.
What they could do is release fake renderings of what the statue is going to look like.
Oh, and have that be one.
And
of
have
the
that
options.
One of, have that be one of the renderings, and have people vote on which
one
they
that
want.
That one would win.
I know. Now they wouldn't actually do it because they're like, "What are you? You guys think we're a-holes? We're not actually going to put that in front of our building."
I will say, when you asked, like, other than a swing, like, what are the iconic?
It's the thought that flashed across.
It's like that
my
is
mind.
The most iconic Altuve thing.
Yeah, it happened to me. It happened to me too. I thought of that immediately when I asked a question.
And it was iconic before the conspiracy theory. It was iconic in 2019 when it happened.
Yes, before we heard about what people eventually turned that into. You're right. You're right about that.
Should it be him with the shoe off, pointing at his foot from this past season?
That's the Altuve that morphed into, "Hey, bring back my guy." There was a difference.
He got radicalized.
Yeah, he was radicalized by watching
by starting 7-20.
Yeah, and then and the guys and the thought of all his guys not being
that
there
too. I'm sure.
Yeah, that probably didn't help. And yeah, it was a bad call. He was right about it. Pretty obvious.
Remember when he was like angrily muttering to himself against like the White Sox or something? Like
there were a couple moments last year where we didn't see where we saw a version of Altuve we had never seen before. We will see
You can't really embronze him angrily muttering himself.
Yeah. I mean, they do have that guy who's in bronze or silver and he pretends he's a statue. And then turns out he's not. If you want to hire that guy for the next 25 years to do it, then maybe you could get away with Altuve muttering. But I don't think so.
Might be too tall.
Might be. Of course he's too tall.
I don't know.
I'm going to assume. Mostly because Altuve is shorter than the average man. I'm going to assume that man is probably at least average height. Okay. Just a guess.
Okay.
But I don't know. You're right. I don't know. He could be 5'3 or whatever.
Guys
Altuve
in the
arch
are normally a little smaller. Yeah.
How tall is he actually, Altuve? I don't want to put 5'3 on him. Is he 5'5, 5'6?
Let's give him 5'5.
Yeah, give him 5'5. Let's not be insulting.
5'4. That's crazy. That's a crazy height.
That's Kevin Hart height. Kevin Hart's 5'3.
I was going to say that's like a woman's height. That's like a normal woman.
He's listed at 5'6. List it. And you can.
He might be 5'4.
Is it college football listing?
He might be 5'4.
Okay. Or real listing. We'll come back and try this. This guy's never been on this show before, mostly because why would he be? He's a frequent caller, a legendary caller to the John and Lance show. He has been holding through a break, and he wanted to talk about Lance Berkman. I felt like that was a fake way to, I guess, try to trick me, as if he needs to trick me. We'll hear from possibly Gilbert when we come back, just to see. I doubt it. I imagine we won't hear a word or maybe at least snoring, but we'll find out. If you want to get in and actually get on the show, because I imagine that won't be a long call, you can, 713-780-3776. And when we come back, we're going to hear from Shohei Ohtani, or at least a person pretending to be Shohei Ohtani. And it really flies in the face of all the things we were saying early, like, oh, this is a cover-up. And of course he was involved. I can't give Ipe a lot of credit for this. He wasn't very creative. But we're going to hear from the interpreter who's facing a lot of jail time because he tried to impersonate, well, part of the reason why is he tried to impersonate Shohei to get a loan from a bank. We will hear that when we come back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We mentioned Pete Carroll. We'll get to the EK Azahura sound here, the former translator for Shohei. Liam Cohen does take the Jack's job, and that's an interesting story because he apparently went AWOL. The Bucks were willing to give him or make him the highest paid coordinator in football. They had this deal laid out on Monday. He disappeared, according to reports. Disappeared in the sense where he couldn't be contacted by the Bucks yesterday as he was trying to find his way to get that Jags job. He told the Bucks he had a sick kid. I think that's true, but some people think he used that as cover. So while it could be true, he may have also used that as cover so he wouldn't be bothered by them. Hey, I'm dealing with a sick kid. I'll get to you when I can. And while he was using that as a bit of a, hey, leave me alone, he was talking to the Jags and eventually finalizes that job with I guess, the promise that he can help in the hiring of the GM. Trent Baalke out. That happened yesterday. Jags get their guy in a very convoluted way. So if you believe in the process matters, you could say this hire is not going to lead to anything good for the Jags of how ridiculous it went to get there, how it went to get there. But if you don't think that, as long as you get the right result, then maybe Liam Coleman will help Trevor Lawrence become the quarterback people think he can be, or at least did think he could be. And he did a good job with Baker. Now Baker had Dave Canales the year before, and people were wondering, did Dave Canales make Baker? Turns out, maybe Baker's turned a corner, and Liam Coleman was just fine with Baker Mayfield as well.
I'm not sure if I want to coach with a liar.
Well, then you don't want to coach.
Oh, well, okay.
Maybe the level of lying is what you take issue with.
But lying on a sick kid?
I believe the kid is ill.
Uh-huh.
Question is, should he have used the illness to pacify the Bucks while they were trying to get in touch with him? Well, I'm sure they sensed something was up.
100%. That has to be one of the lies that, like, that when Todd Bowles, I guess, gets that phone call or whatever, or gets that text, he's like, he looks to the other person in the room, he's like, he's gone. He's going to be a Jags head coach. There's no way that, oh, can't get to your call. I have a sick kid. Like these football coaches don't ignore their families anyway.
I don't want to talk or really speculate on the man's parenting, but we've heard and we've seen,
we know how it goes.
Kids being used for reasons when coaches are in a tough situation. Mm-hmm. It happens.
Nick Sirianni put them up on the podium.
Urban Meyer using his family when he got out
to walk away, yeah,
and then came back.
Go to a bunch of volleyball games.
Came back a year later.
Well, you know, only so many volleyball games.
I mean, how many can you actually suffer through before you have to go get a real job? Right.
So I need to go scream at somebody. Can't scream at these girls.
I mean, I could. But I can't really get away with it. I can go scream at college age
and
kids,
get paid millions
boys to
do
it and be just fine doing it. Hey, what am I going to scream at a near high school kid for if I'm not going to get paid? Why do I do that?
Bump, set.
Yeah, I'm sure going to Columbus felt like a dream. Certainly the salary did too. So there it is. We got, and also Robert Saleh, because he's not getting the Jags job, is likely to be the 49ers head coach. I mean, defensive coordinator again. It looks like he's going back. He has told the 49ers that if he doesn't get a head coaching job, the only place he will coordinate is in San Francisco, which means if he's going to coordinate, if he's going to get a job this offseason, it's going to be in San Francisco because he's not getting a head coaching job.
Yeah.
Who's hiring Robert Saleh to be the head coach?
Saints or Cowboys are the only two open.
No, Brian Schottenheimer's getting that Cowboy job. That apparently is a formality, Cowboys fans. And as far as
that's
Saints.
That's fun.
I guess the Saints could hire Robert Saleh. They can bring in another defensive head coach. They just got rid of Dennis Allen. Let's bring in Robert Saleh.
I'm sorry, any Saints fans that are listening, but like,
what are you doing?
I just like this. It's not even what are you doing. It's just you're bleeped. Like I don't know what this situation.
Yeah, who are the candidates even?
I don't have any like. Well, it'd be great to work with that defense. It'd be great to work with the quarterback, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe they'll hire Mike McCarthy.
Ugh.
Because Aaron Glenn was a candidate, but we know he's the Jets head coach. Mike McCarthy's out there.
Do you try to make
maybe
less...
Joe Brady, Kellen Moore? Maybe you go all in on offense?
I feel like Joe Brady is going to be like, I'll wait until next year.
Someone's like,
I'll be the Ben Johnson next year.
Will he? I don't know that what Joe Brady's doing is all that creative. I mean, it works. He's got Josh Allen, but no one's falling over themselves and saying, "Look how creative Joe Brady is."
I think there's a chance that they win on Sunday mm-hmm. and win the Super Bowl, and then it's like, okay, it's just more of a like the prestigious offensive coordinator from the Super Bowl winner.
Sure, makes sense.
It was nothing like specific about what he's doing.
He just feels like the next in line.
His main, you know, edit when he took over the job from Ken Dorsey was just like, stop throwing to Diggs. Let's run the ball more.
Yes.
And they haven't looked back since.
I mean, they did. Oh, Gilbert hung up. Look at that. Well, they did.
We're just about to get
Did they make any more progress than they've had in the past? They haven't looked back since.
Not
but
yet.
They've still been the same.
Well, no, but they're a better offense second half of last season. And Allen has stopped turning the ball.
They were more diverse, certainly, and I guess the lack of pressure to throw to a number one wide receiver has led to Allen to turn the ball over less. I know Texans fans were like, oh, no Stephon Diggs. Look what happened to you when the Texans did what they did to him. But they've been just fine.
Scoreboard.
They've been just fine without him, and now they have a shot to beat the Bills. I don't think they're beating the Bills. We'll talk about that in the second hour.
You don't think the Bills are beating the Chiefs? Or the Chiefs are
Yeah, you're right. Yes, yeah. Let me reverse that. Thank you for that. I don't believe the Bills are winning that game.
Okay.
I believe the Chiefs are headed to the Super Bowl.
I think people have picked against the Chiefs, but no one's been as dismissive as, I don't think they're beating the Bills. You get out of here with that.
Yeah.
Like, everyone who picks the Bills are like, I don't know, guys.
That's true. No, and rightfully so. No one should be super confident.
Yeah,
the
which,
Bills
by the way, I kind of, I don't know. If you just ask me, like, who's played better this year, who I think is the better football team this year? It's closer than what like conventional wisdom would suspect.
They both played games in their last opportunities where they were outplayed, and the Texans outgamed them, but I think the Texans didn't outplay them. But people have used that the yardage total to suggest that the Ravens. That's a weird one too, because the Ravens had turnovers forced, like the Mark Andrews fumble was a forced turnover, but I think Lamar's pick wasn't anything the Bills did.
And dropping
the
football.
His fumble wasn't anything the Bills did. And then, of course, Mark Andrews dropping the football. So I think the Ravens outplayed the Bills, even though if you're making mistakes, can you really outplay a team? But I think for the better part of that game, the Ravens were better.
It was unforced errors. For
yes. Them. The Bills now did a great job of taking advantage of the Ravens' errors.
Yeah.
But I think as far as what happened in their last games, I think the Bills are way more fortunate to be in this situation than the Chiefs are.
I think the Bills, they only scored 3 points in the second half.
They scored 21 in the first, so yeah.
Six. So they got six.
Yeah, and the final points came off the Mark Andrews fumble, and they almost were able to run at the clock, but the Ravens did get a stop, or at least score a touchdown to put the game away, but the Ravens did get a stop, and we all saw what happened after that. So we'll get to the E-Pace stuff in the next hour. He tried to convince a bank to loan him some money. And it's a prime example of why you should always have a sports fan at a job. Now, it may never come up, but you want to always be prepared. Like, sometimes we hear or we see big companies make dumb decisions, and you're like, there should always be someone in the room who goes, you guys really think you should do this? There should have been someone in that bank telling you, Shohei doesn't talk. He doesn't speak in English very often. And if he was going to call in, his interpreter will probably be involved. So we'll play that sound when we come back. Hour two will begin in a little bit. If you want to get in, you can, 713-780-3776. We'll also have Michael Carroll on in hour two. He'll tell you what you should or shouldn't watch. Art, you send in your questions early, because in the middle of it, anyone else has questions for Michael Carroll, you can, or you can call in as well. But you'll tweet me, and I won't see him until afterwards. So if you have some ridiculous thing you want Michael Carroll to address, tweet me beforehand so I can see it. We'll do all that in hour two. We'll be back.
This is ESPN 97.5. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors. The bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams. Save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.